What if the struggles you are trying to escape are not obstacles but invitation? What if life is not pushing you but patiently arranging the exact mirrors you need to finally see what has been hidden beneath the surface? Welcome to Cosmic Confluence, a space where psychology, spirituality, and lived experience meet in curiosity rather than certainty. I'm Yusuf, and today I'm joined by Dr. Christian Oranje, a transformational speaker who guides people through what he calls puzzle-style conversations, where insight is revealed gradually, not forcefully. Together, we will explore suffering, unconsciousness healing, and how life itself becomes the mirror that shows us what is ready to be healed. With that, I welcome Dr. Christian Oranje to the show.
Yusuf, what an extraordinary introduction. I'm touched. Thank you.
Thank you so much, sir. I would request you to take the lead and...
Sure. Yeah, I'm glad to. I'd like to invite you, listeners, viewers, to go on a little adventure with me, a treasure hunt. And what I'm about to present is like putting a puzzle together. We have all these pieces here on the table and with a box that has no picture on it, because you know what? This is life. And by slowly putting every piece in place, it becomes clear what all this is about. And with every treasure hunt, there's a map coming with it. A map on which you can see where the mountains are and the forest and the rivers, and there's the dotted line that shows you the path from where you currently are to the black cross where you find the treasure. Another way to say it is that I'd like to take you on a helicopter ride. And in doing so, you're able to oversee the territory that I'm going to talk about. And I feel it's important to offer you such a view because it will give you a better idea, a better understanding of what actually is happening nowadays, why it is happening, and how to best deal with it. This territory you're about to see can be summarized in what I call the triple dynamic, which is something that, to my knowledge, no one is speaking about in this way. This triple dynamic consists out of these three elements. Firstly, what is it that really happens when we numb or suppress uncomfortable feelings and thoughts? Secondly, how is life showing us what needs healing as we transition into a higher dimensional way of living? Thirdly, why is it that mindset and subconscious work often not anymore lead to lasting change? As you have said, Dr. Kimberly, I am primarily working with affluent soul-seeking women over 40 that have it all and feel empty, unfulfilled, and struggle to be happy. And I'd like to use the work I do with them to illustrate principles that anyone here listening can relate to. Because with them, the affluent women, it's the most obvious what I'm going to talk about. At least that's how I see it. This is what has led to my discovery is that quite recently I noticed a remarkable shift in seeing different kinds of clients reaching out to ask for my assistance. And the issues they are now bringing to the table are way more complex and more severe. And that made me wonder why. I found that there's a certain theme that all of the clients I work with now have in common. And this is what I've called the triple dynamic. Now, again, back to the world of the affluent. In the high society circles, there's an unspoken rule that is considered to be not done when you openly, and sometimes not even privately, speak about the more deeper and darker feelings and thoughts that may appear. In those circles, you are trained to keep up appearance, to smile, even when you're falling apart inside. I call this the silent epidemic among the affluent. Their suffering, maybe your suffering, is invisible. Now, I'm not here to criticize that rule. I understand why it came into being and what its function is. What I do want is to point out what I see as being the consequences of such a rule. It encourages an attitude in which there's actually no other alternative than suppressing what is not allowed to be felt. And as a result, cultivating a habit of numbing oneself. This seems to the way more convenient. It is quick, and you have an idea that's all gone and dealt with, but not really. Now, for you listening and viewing, think about your own upbringing. Were your emotions welcomed? Could you express yourself freely? The people, like parents, family members, teachers, etc., those you found yourself surrounded with when you were little may have been exactly the kind of environment where the habit of numbing has been cultivated in you. Numbing can also come from a sudden, unexpected, negative impactful, call it traumatic event, in which it was all too much to process all at once. So you just had to push what couldn't be handled in that moment into your subconscious. Sometimes even going straight into your unconscious. So this is the first element of the triple dynamic at play. All that we suppress has become part of what I call, of what is called, our conditioning. I call that our negative patterns of behavior in thinking, limiting beliefs, feeling, negative emotions, and the way we act, including the poor choices and decisions we make. I see a direct relationship between the degree to which someone suppresses negative feelings and thoughts and the way this expresses itself in their outer circumstances. Take, for instance, again, the tendency toward numbing. Numbing has various side effects and consequences. It can show up as burnout, physical illness, or chronic fatigue. Suppressing your feelings takes a lot of energy, I can tell you. But for today, I want to emphasize on one particular side effect, which has to do with a simple principle. The moment you suppress the negative feelings and thoughts you do not want to feel and think, you automatically restrict your ability to experience the pleasant emotions and thoughts you do want to feel and think. This is my explanation for why so many wealthy people who have surrounded themselves with a lifestyle dreams are made of feel empty, unfulfilled, and unhappy, telling me that they are unable to truly enjoy the richness life has to offer. Now, I know that it may be that what I'm talking about is not for everyone, but this is commonly what the clients I'm working with currently are reporting back to me about what they are struggling with. And again, listeners and viewers here, see in which of these descriptions you recognize yourself. I hear, I wake up feeling exhausted, more tired than when I got to bed. Or, I'm working so hard and still feel unfulfilled. Or, oh, I'm in this relationship that drives me crazy. Or, I'm just unable to enjoy the good things in life. Or, I have this condition, this disease, and treatments don't have any effect. That's a painful one, right? And, or, this is happening here now, and it is happening time and time again, and I'm fed up with it, but I don't know how to break the cycle. Or, I do all this work to change what makes me unhappy, but deep down, nothing seems to make any difference at all. Or, all this is driving me to the edge, wondering what's the point of all this? Now, listeners, viewers, have there been moments where you've said or thought something similar? Now, I think that we can all agree on the fact that the situation and circumstances we live in nowadays are rapidly intensifying. And one logical explanation is to see the political tension and the threat of war and the economic instability as the cause of it. But what I see is that there is actually another, more hidden reason why things are intensifying. And that has to do with the second element of the triple dynamic, and that is the transition into what is called the fifth dimensional way of living that is happening. When I speak about the transition into the fifth dimensional way of living, I'm not talking about something abstract, not something far out there. Let me briefly explain. The fifth dimensional way of living is not something you go to. It's not a place. It refers to an inner state of being. The transition happens within. As I've come to understand it, it is not possible. And if it is, I find it not wise to jump from the 3D reality we've been living in here for centuries straight into 5D. It's like climbing a mountain. The higher you go, the more it is necessary to let go. You cannot take everything that you've gathered at base camp with you to the top. It won't work. The reason
Exactly.
that it is not going to work is because in life, in this life, and if you believe it, in lifetimes, we've built up this conditioning I spoke about earlier, which is, as you can see, greatly disturbing and interfering with the life we are living here in 3D. So if
Yes.
we could take that conditioning, and if we would take that conditioning with us that we've built up within ourselves into 5D, it will again greatly disturb the quality of our new, renewed state of being, as it is already doing now. So what need to happen is that we first move through the fourth dimension. Moving through the fourth dimension serves various essential functions. One of them is that it is a period in which we have the opportunity to cleanse and clear ourselves. In other words, to release, to resolve, to heal, to transform everything of that conditioning we carry with us. The conditioning that served us well in the past, but over time has become a burden, now hindering and sometimes even totally blocking us from living the life we truly love to live. But, and here we touch on the third element of the triple dynamic, here we have a challenge. And that is, and what has to do with the fact that we are created with a conscious, a subconscious, and an unconscious mind. And the characteristic of the sub and unconscious mind is that we have stored things in there, the conditioning, of which we are not yet or not anymore conscious of. Now, there are exceptions, but in most cases, we can only change, heal, transform something when we know what it is. Think about the opposite. How can we work with something we are not aware of? Awareness is the first step to being elevated, right? The question slash challenge, therefore, is how can we become conscious of things we are not yet or not anymore conscious of? There is an expression in Sufism that says everything in this material world is done through mirrors. The function of a mirror is that it's like a road sign. It points at something that wishes to be seen and acknowledged, wishes to be healed, wishes to be released, be freed. A synonym for mirror is a catalyst. And there are various forms those mirrors, catalysts, can appear and show up in your life. It can come as a certain situation or circumstance you find yourself in. It can come in an encounter with a specific kind of person or group of people. It can come through a physical condition, and it can come in an imbalance in our emotional and mental state, for instance, being burned out. Now, here's the thing. The world has changed. We have changed. And since, due to the working of the fourth dimension, issues are rapidly becoming more complex and more severe, it requires, on one hand, updated and more refined methods and tools. as well as, on the other hand, the creation of new ones. The journey into 5D can be seen as one that leads us from our human mind, as being the master, into our heart and soul, making the mind our servant. The language of our mind are words. The language of our heart is sound. For that reason, I've developed a new sound healing technology that specifically is designed to help clients to identify and transform conditioning that is stored in their unconscious. And since the circumstances we live in have changed, and the complexity of issues we encounter is increasing, in order to properly address and resolve what is causing our suffering, a deeper transformational journey is required. And this implies two things. This needs care, and it will take some time and effort to do this well. And it will not always be an easy ride, but definitely one that leads to change that sticks, the kind of change that is long-lasting. Now, from experience, I know that the moment I say these words out loud, that a deeper transformational journey is needed, for some listeners, almost immediately a sense of fear and/or resistance may bubble up. And that is so understandable. For instance, imagine your passion is to dance on a high rope in one of those big circus tops. And I come along and say, "Hey, you know what? I know one here nearby, and I can take you there." And then after arrival, I show you the ladder and say, "Come on, climb up the ladder and do your thing," without giving you any instructions, you having no training, never done it before. What do you think? Would you start to feel some fear and resistance doing it?
Obviously.
Of course. The moment, but here's the thing. However, the moment I explain that there are three types of resistances and how to handle them best, and when I explain the know-how is giving you the knowledge, help you to develop certain skills you need, hand over the right method to use, to put together a solid self-care plan and inspire you to engage in a daily training, I see over and over again in doing it like this that the fear and resistance in the client I find sitting opposite of me is greatly reduced. What it all comes down to is, and this is a good thing to remember, before you dive into such a deeper transformational journey, make sure you establish the proper circumstances and conditions to do this work in a safe and secure way. To stay in a metaphor, make sure to hook up your safety net first.
Wow, thank you so much, sir, for explaining this deeply, this clearly, and this profoundly. I have some questions, if I may.
Sure, of course.
This kind of inner work is not linear. When old patterns resurface, how can people stay engaged without falling into self-judgment?
What comes to mind to say about this is that when you would have a visual and you take a particular point and you draw a circle around with one hand and you come back, then it often appears that you have arrived at the same point as where you left. But the truth of the matter is, you've done your work, it has done its transformational magic, and you end up, which seems to be the same place, but you end up a layer deeper. And here the metaphor of the onion comes in, which is often used. Transformational process unfolds layer after layer. And that explains, for instance, one of the things I said earlier, that some clients report, I thought I already had dealt with that kind of thing way in the past. And now suddenly it appears again and it's even more intense. But the thing is, they have just reached and were ready, that's the word, the keyword, they were ready to dive into that deeper layer to face what they needed to face and work through whatever they needed to work through there. And then the same principle applies that after a while, when you've done the things, it may be the case that you go again a deeper layer, or the layer you've touched on is already the kind of the bottom line. You have already touched what I call the root cause of what it is that is causing suffering. And when the root cause is touched and the work is done in the correct way to adjust it in such a way that it doesn't influence and doesn't create the circumstances we do not want nor like, then in a way we can say we are done. But then what happens is another kind of lesson we need to learn is presented through another kind of situation or meeting with a person. And that's then a kind of an other part, an element, a building block of the conditioning you've built up that now wishes to be worked on.
Many people believe that healing is about fixing what is broken or eliminating pain as quickly as possible. From your experience, what do we misunderstand about suffering at the most fundamental level?
Let me answer first the second part of your question, because I have noticed the tendency that is in the last years that is coming up, the trend that people seek rapid transformation to resolve quickly what they feel and experience as unpleasant. Think about an oyster. For an oyster, life can blow a worthless grain of sand in its belly. It's unpleasant, annoying, irritating, painful, and so on and so forth. Let's say that I would, when that happens, would be another oyster trained in rapid transformational techniques, and that leads to the oyster who had have the worthless grain of sand in its belly to remove it instantly. Great. First of all, what have you learned? Secondly, does the oyster realize that in doing so, it's missing out on the beautiful, precious pearl that eventually would come out of it? That's the first answer to the second half of your question. The first half of your question has to do with, well, what is it about fixing what is broken? There are two sides to it. In essence, we all are not broken. In essence. But to leave it at that point is greatly disrespectful to people who find themselves in a situation where they do feel broken. The correct way to view it is that in essence, we are not broken. But on a human level, we can carry something with us that actually really is broken. We can have a broken heart in relationships. We can have had moments in which our trust is broken. We can have a leg that's broken where the bone sticks out. To say, and I hear this expression quite a lot, you are not broken. No, that's true. But we can carry sometimes in ourselves something that is broken, and it is through, and that's the first step. I see it over and over again. The acknowledgement for me to say that to a client who comes to me who feels that way, simply the acknowledgement of ourselves towards ourselves that something is indeed broken that we carry with us, that immediately already sets the healing process in motion. Simply the acknowledgement of it, that is where they feel seen, that's where they feel understood, and that's already a healing in itself.
For listeners who feel called to explore this experiential way of healing
Yes.
more deeply,
Yes.
where can they find you and your work?
Thank you for the question. Let me give the takeaway I like you listeners to leave with. Whenever you want to change something or you're confronted with a difficult situation, what most likely happens is that it has a negative impact on how you feel and think, right? That's logical. We are human. It makes you, so to speak, slide into a lower vibrational, also known as a non-resourceful state. For instance, being in fear or in such a fight, flight or freeze state. That's an example of it. However, this is the last thing you want to see happening, because in those kind of situations, what you actually need is to have the energy and the vitality, which gives you the clarity of mind, the strength, the determination, whatever you need in that moment to deal with it. So what you need is something that helps you to do exactly that, something that helps you shift from a non-resourceful, lower vibrational state into what I call a state of excellence, as quickly as possible, and to maintain it while the situation you're in is still challenging and perhaps unbearable. And that is, by the way, to me, what resilience is about. Now, so for anyone listening who feels that this is something you could use, I'd love to offer you this small gift. It's a short downloadable ebook called The 5 Steps to Transform Any Negative Feeling or Thought Anytime, Anywhere in 7 Minutes or Less. I created it because when I look at my own life, I carried negative emotions and thoughts with me way longer than I had to, simply because no one ever showed me that all this can be transformed much quicker, even when needed, instantly in the moment. The advantage of this 5 steps ritual is that it prevents you from suppressing all what you don't like to feel or think, and instead to turn those negative feelings and thoughts into the ones that energize, empower, and uplift you. You'll find the link in the show notes. It's a simple download. You receive it by email. In addition, for those of you who have it all listening here, yet still feel unfulfilled and sense the desire to take a deeper step, I'm also offering you a complimentary From Pointless to Purpose Treasure Map consultation. It's a 1-hour conversation where you can experience how I work, ask your questions directly, and explore whether I'm the right person to assist you in making the changes you want or need to make. And just to be clear, this is a no-pressure consultation. There are no obligations. It's simply an invitation to explore.
Thank you so much, sir, for joining us on Cosmic Confluence today.
My pleasure, Yusuf. Pleasure to serve you and your audience. It's a great honor. Thank you.
And to all our listeners, if something shifted quietly inside you today, trust that movement. You do not need to rush it. Let the pieces settle in their own time. Perhaps healing is less about becoming someone new and more about allowing what has been hidden to finally come into light. Until next time, stay curious, stay gentle, and keep listening beneath the surface.